She released the bond. Every claim she had to him, she dropped. She let him owe her nothing. Not friendship, not honor, not dignity, not friendship, not her life. Nothing at all. With no claim to magnify, their wedding earrings failed. It shook him like a bell that had been rung from his ear through his whole body. It shook him from his sudden freed wrists down to his bound ankles. And there, Kali had no answer to this kind of love. She knew only taking. It was like two people had been playing tug of war and one released the rope. All the magic held in tension by the wedding ring rushed outward toward Kali. Something tinged on the marble floor. It was Kyla's earring. The earrings were broken. The bond was broken. The compulsion had vanished. Kyla couldn't feel V or Kali. He was free of both of them. 10 paces away, Kali was rocking on her heels, stunned.
I'm sorry, Kyla.
Lee? She pushed Kurok into his hands.
Quickly, quickly, I can't stop her. She's recovering.
What are you talking about? Honey?
It wasn't me, Magnificent. I'm so proud of her. I knew she could do it. You take care of her, all right?
I'm not letting you go.
You'll know how I used to think I'd never be important like you are. I found it, Kyla. I found something I can do that no one else can. The god told me. Kali could only possess someone who would let her. And she didn't know I can hold her in. You can kill her once and for all. You can kill the Veer.
But I can't kill them without killing you.
She took his hand and smiled gently, acknowledging it. She was more beautiful than anything he'd ever imagined.
No!
Kyla looked through the clear walls and saw one of the Titans picking up an entire building and hurl it at the Allies. It crushed hundreds. There was no time. He looked back to Aline just as another spasm passed through her frame.
But Korok! It can kill me. If it does, the spell that makes people die for me will be broken. I can still save you. Damn it, boy!
Kyla, when Roth Essel killed you, that first time before we knew you were immortal, I prayed that I could trade my life to save yours. I thought the god said yes. I was so sure of it that I dragged you out of the castle. Later, I told myself it was just a coincidence. But God did say yes. Yes, in his time, not mine. My death then would have accomplished nothing. Now I can do something no one else can. Please, Kyla, don't be too proud to accept my sacrifice.
You're pregnant!
Kyla, there are so many people we love here. I'd give our son for them. Won't you?
No! No!
I love you. I'm not afraid. Quickly now!
The ground shook again, and outside choruses of magic rose into the sky. Whatever Krull had been raised, some of the newer ones had talent. But inside, no one moved. They all knew that their fates and the fates of all of Midkiru's nations were balanced on Kurok's edge. Kyla pulled Aline into his arms and hugged her fiercely.
I love you!
He drew back Kurok and slid it into her side. As Kurok pierced Kali, light exploded, engulfing him in fire. It was clean and hot and purifying. Kyla thought he might be dead. He hoped he was.
I thought it was finished. He killed Kali. Why are they still coming?
She lied. She wasn't the Queen of the Strangers, only an ally. Our work isn't done yet, not by half. We need Kurok!
Valor opened his eyes as someone touched him. Sister Ariel stood over him, and he was curled on the floor with Aline.
We need the sword, child. Now! Kali's dead, Kyler, but Aline's not. Not yet. But her wound can't be healed. Nothing can mend what Kurok cuts. We need you. Both of you. Or we'll never stop the Krull.
Kurok was buried almost to the hilt in Aline's side. Her eyelids fluttered briefly, but didn't stay open.
I can't!
Sister Ariel put a thick hand on the hilt and drew it out swiftly. A wash of blood poured from Aline's ribs.
Open the doors! Both sides!
Do it! Do everything he says!
The 200 Birdmeisters lay in concentric rings, all dead, all bleached white. The bier itself was dead. But the Krull hadn't been affected. They still surrounded the Hall of Winds in a vast, churning black ocean. And even now, some of the most frightful of them were winning their way to the front of their lines. Shoulder to shoulder, Kurans and Lycanot and Cenarians and Sephi and Caladoran soldiers fought the Horde. Kyler had somehow thought that killing Kali would mean a total victory, but the Krull on every side, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of them, told another story. The army of men in the center was like a lonely rock in the face of the incoming tide. God, there was no way they could stand up to so many. Someone squeezed Kyler's shoulder. It was Logan. His cheeks glistened with tears of mingled joy and sorrow.
Kyler, brother, come. We have a chair for her.
Logan squeezed his shoulder again, and that touch was worth a thousand words. Kyler didn't turn from Aline. The flow of blood had slowed. Kyler allowed himself to be prodded into a place in a tight circle between the open doors. Sister Aria laid Kurok unsheathed across a dozen palms. Pushed by Durzo, Kyler put his hand on the blade. Durzo took Kyler's other hand in both of his. It was an uncharacteristically tender gesture, and Durzo held it until Kyler looked up at him. As ever, Durzo didn't have words, but there was a respect in his eyes, and shared heartache and pride. It was the look of a father whose son has done something great, and that look from Durzo told Kyler he was an orphan no more. Then, with Kyler's hand still in his, Durzo cupped his hand, a request in his eyes. Kyler understood, and he let the Kakari flow out into his hand and gave it to Durzo. Durzo nodded and released his hand. Then V put her hand next to his on Kurok, just touching him. Conscious once more, Aline put hers on the other side of Kyler's. Several powerful magi of both genders knelt, each reverently resting two fingers on the blade. Solon and Sister Ariel did the same. Durzo had retribution, ires in hand. It was black-bladed, but its grip was uncovered, and Durzo handed Dorian the Staff of Law. As he touched Kurok, Kyler became aware of everyone else touching the blade. Then, beneath them, Kurok began humming. As Dorian laid his right hand on the blade, his left still holding ires, a gust of wind blew through the hall. Solon found his pitch first. Ariel matched him. Then the Magi joined in. The Magi settled over them. V joined. Then Durzo. Kyler's eyes shot open, and he and everyone else stared at Durzo, who had laid a single insolent finger precisely on Kurok's point. Then Kyler felt his place. Through the euphony, Kyler noticed something else, suffusing the hall. It was hope. And that voice, if voice it could be called, was all Aline. Her hope, even as she was dying, drew forth hope from each of them. And with that revelation, Kyler saw that Kurok wasn't a simple tool of magic. It was an amplifier of talent. Kurok amplified the whole man. Aline's beacon of hope, Durzo's titanic determination, Dorian's penitence and astounding focus, Ariel's intelligence, Logan's courage, V's longing for a new beginning, Kyla's love of justice, the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood, sacrifice, hatred of evil, feelings martial and impulses nurturing. Through it all, the glue that made the magic was love, and love surrounded each instrument from its top to its bottom notes. And each man and each woman performed beautifully, heroically, some capable of only a few notes, some with huge range but little depth, and some of them true masters, but each giving all. The Hall of Winds itself reacted to the perfection of magic building inside its walls. Tapestries of colored light danced through the walls, magic made visible even to the non-talented, and wove together as the magic wove together. Radiance bathed them, and the magic growing inside was echoed to the world. The warriors outside battling incredible odds felt a sudden assurance, as if they were children fighting a bully and the bully had just caught sight of their father coming. As the music climbed, directed by Dorian, Kyla could see the score laid out before them. His vision widened and he saw not just his own part, climbing, climbing. Another voice was needed, one beyond any of the people in the hall. Their talents built to a crescendo and everyone blazed like the sun. There was so much magic in Kyla's blood and in the air, it was almost intolerable. He was standing in a furnace. Everything Kyla had was sinking into Kurok, and still the magic Dorian was attempting demanded more. Kyla's eyes flicked open. He looked at Dorian. The mage shifted his grip on Kurok, leaving the hilt free, shifting their hold so that the hilt pointed toward heaven. The man was more audacious than Kyla could believe. Even with all these mages working together, they didn't have the power needed to end this. So Dorian had set a trap to join their will to the one beast that had the power to impose that will on the world. Kyla was aghast. He couldn't even understand everything Dorian was trying to do. Dorian grinned at him, and Kyla wasn't sure if what he saw in the man's eyes was sane or mad. Through the southern door, Kyla could see all the way to the pass to Taurus End. And as he watched, a streak of fire appeared. It crossed the river, not bothering with the bridge, and plunged through the line of Krull without slowing. It moved too fast to see. Kyla could only judge its progress by the cloud of dust and smoke and blood that trailed it, the shockwave rippling through bodies, crashing back to the earth long after it was gone. In seconds, it had gone from the distant past to the old line where Black Barrow had stood. Kyla realized why Dorian had opened the doors. If he hadn't, the damn thing would have blasted right through the walls. Through Kurok, for a split second, Kyla felt the hunter as it seized the offered hilt of Jorsen Alkesti's mighty blade to snatch it away from them. And Kyla knew him. Then, magic obliterated everything. When Kyla became aware, he was standing on the roof of the Hall of Winds. The wolf stood next to him, and the world had the indistinct sheen Kyla had come to associate with the antechamber of the mystery.
So, I'm dead.
No, I can come into your dreams. It just takes a lot of magic. I have some to spare now.
You're Ezra.
He inclined his head.
Then, what's the hunter? I felt you in it.
It's my hubris.
Kyla glanced at him. This was not an explanation.
I tried to undermine the Dark Lord's own work by twisting the twisted back on the twister.
The Dark Lord? You mean that metaphorically, right?
You are still Kyla, aren't you? But not to worry. The hands of Hell are still bound for another 15 or 20 years. Until then, the hunter and I will battle for control every day. I can only be here while it sleeps.
What?
Do you see this, Kyler?
The wolf. It was still hard to think of him as Ezra, gestured to the city. Kyler gave it a cursory glance.
This is how it was when you lived here?
It was beautiful, but Kyler didn't care.
This is real. This is what you and your friends have done.
Kyler looked with new eyes, stunned. The city was completely restored, and it was a marvel. The streets were straight, perfectly paved. The houses were immaculate, from the largest manse to the tightly packed row houses in the artisans' quarter. Fountains pumped sparkling clean water in squares throughout the city. Hanging gardens flowed over white marble walls. The dome of the Hall of Winds was covered with beaten gold. Nearby, the castle shone white and red. The fields below the city were carpeted with the green shoots of growing crops. The docks on the lake and the locks on the river were restored. The dam was closed and the water level rising. Every sign of war and death was gone.
The Krull's very bodies were turned into vegetation. It's a better trick than anything Jorson or I ever managed.
Flowers were budding everywhere, at every corner, bordering every field, rows of beautiful red flowers bursting from bulbs. Kyler had never seen their like, or known any flower to bloom so early in spring.
How did Eileen trap Kali? I'm certain that she isn't talented. Wasn't, I guess.
There's more to magic than the talent, Kyler. You've seen that yourself. When have you been most powerful? When you've acted in harmony with the deepest parts of your own spirit. Eileen trapped Kali through love. It was a love that said, I love you too much to let you do more evil. Not for the sake of your victims only, but for your own sake. If it had been a rejection, Kali could have escaped and become disembodied once more. It was only Aline's love that made your justice possible. If I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have thought such a thing could be done.
Kyler had felt rejected when Aline had left him without telling him where she was going or that she was pregnant. This cast her in a different light. It hadn't been a rejection. She had simply seen that he wasn't mature enough or selfless enough to let her do what she needed to do. Aline had taken Kali not out of a rejection of Kyler, but out of a profound acceptance for who he was not only as a man, but as the Night Angel. Her only purpose in trapping Kali was so that Kyler could kill her. Aline had believed Kyler would do the right thing in the end so much that she had bet her very soul on it. For if he'd faltered, unable to give Aline up, Kali would have taken her over completely.
What happens now?
Your friend Logan will be crowned High King of Kura, Sanaria, Kalador, and Lodrakar. He'll establish his capital here and rename it Alenia. Not for you, but because he is a man who believes in honoring sacrifice. Within a few years, it will be one of the great cities of the world again. I suspect he will reign well. Firkusat will go to Taurus Bend and set up a forge and start a family, as he's always wanted. He'll take care of Dorian. Dorian was the architect of all this magic, but he's now completely mad. I don't know if it was the Veer infecting his prophetic talent, or him ripping the Veer completely out of himself, or the death of the Veer that caused the madness. I don't suppose it much matters. But that he rooted out his own Veer did save him. Indeed, he is probably the only Verdmeister in Mid-Kiru who didn't die along with the Veer. God King Wanhope will be declared dead. Durzo will be reunited with Gwynvir Kyrena, who will eventually rule Sanaria, and rule more capably than any king or queen has ruled there for four centuries. V will return to the Chantry to finish her schooling. There will be calls to make her speaker, which will scare the hell out of the current speaker, Istario Wyant. V will decline, but not before using her influence to make the speaker swear that no sister pursue you. To a surprising extent, they will actually obey.
And what happens to me?
You will be welcomed wherever you go in this guise. Sooner or later, the world will have need of you again. You are not a man to fade into oblivion, Kyler Stern. Secrecy, perhaps. Intentional obscurity, certainly. But never oblivion. I have a question.
Yes?
You were 4 days away from the wood when you unveiled Kurok. You knew that it would draw the Hunter?
Yes.
How did you know that the Hunter would make it here in time to make a difference in the battle? Indeed, as it happened, all the difference. Without it, you didn't have nearly the power those spells required.
Kylo remembered removing the Black Kakari from Kurok before going to face Nefdata. It had barely been a conscious act. He'd known that the Hunter hated Krull, and that it would be drawn to reclaim its stolen sword. Maybe he'd thought it would come earlier and kill a lot of Krull. But more than a plan, it had simply been something that felt right. It felt like he was moving in consonance with the universe, with his own deepest character. If the wolf was right, that was its own kind of magic.
I didn't know. I believed.
In this world of shadows, you believe, despite all you've seen.
We live on a great battlefield, and you and I fight behind enemy lines. Like it or not, my lupine friend, you are one of the lights that helps me believe.
I will consider what you've said. The creature stirs. The day's battle begins.
May the light shine on you, my friend.
That's twice you've called me friend. Thank you.
Ezra turned away, then hesitated. He turned back.
There is one other thing. The red flowers. They're a modified tulip, not native to Midkiru. They're known as the Heralds of Spring. They're the first flowers to bloom every year. They're a symbol of hope. I studied the magic, and Aline made them, Kyler. All of them. She made them for you. I couldn't save her. I owed you that much, but I couldn't save her.
Ezra pursed his lips and his jaw clenched as he crushed his own emotions. He touched Kyler's shoulder.
I must go. May I not see you in the antechamber of the mystery for many, many years.
Tears flowed down Kyler's face. There were tens of thousands of red tulips. Every intersection, every field, every house was adorned with them. They were a lean sign to him of her presence, her joy, her acceptance, her love. Only Aline would put such beauty in the middle of his pain. How was he ever going to live without her? Logan dispatched perhaps the 40th messenger of the day. Not being talented seemed to have saved him from the brunt of the cost the Magi who'd used Kurok had borne. Half of them were still unconscious, including Kyler. V had a white streak in her fiery red hair now, and Dorian's hair was gone utterly white like Solon's, though Solon retained his sanity while Dorian had completely lost his. It was, perhaps, the better part of why Logan had spared the man. Dorian had turned at the end, and he'd certainly saved Logan's life and the lives of everyone else. But they wouldn't have been in jeopardy if Dorian hadn't stolen Logan's wife in the first place. Or not in jeopardy today, at any rate. Scrubbing his hands through his hair, Logan almost knocked his new crown off. A soldier had found it waiting in the castle and had presented it to Logan, who'd lost his Cenarian crown in the fighting. They'd wanted to start the coronation celebrations to crown him High King immediately, but Logan insisted on taking care of his men first, and with Lantano Garawashi and Hideo Mitsurugi reporting to him, as well as one of the Magi telling him about the conditions of Kalidor's human soldiers, the number of men Logan regarded as his own had exploded. Mercifully, he also had the services of 8,000 sisters, most of whom had some ability with healing. With more than 1 in 10 of his people a healer, far fewer died than would have otherwise. And Kurok's magic had left them in a paradise where they'd expected a wasteland. Still, he'd had more than enough work to keep him busy until long after dark. Part of him was glad for it. It was one thing to raise an army to rescue your stolen bride. It was quite another to figure out how to repair a marriage when your wife had thought you dead, had remarried, and had been sharing another man's rule and his bed. Logan rubbed his temples again and set the crown down on his desk. He looked around the room and realized he'd had no idea where he was. He left an immense throne room and walked at random. Caldrosa Wynn and Nasher and several other bodyguards had followed him, but they'd said nothing as they took up their positions outside the door. He guessed they knew he needed nothing so much as a quiet place. He sat. It was Janine. She looked small, fragile. Her face was gray.
Your Majesty, I'm pregnant.
I know. Solon told me you bear Dorin's child.
I've just met with the healer. It's twins. Boys.
It was a disaster. Sons. Nor would they be simple bastards who could be put aside. They were the offspring of a god-king and a Cenarian queen with ample claim to the High King's throne on the basis of their blood alone. Their very existence would be destabilizing. If Logan had sons of his own, it would only be inviting civil war.
I found a healer who said... She said this early it would be safe to abort them.
That isn't what you want.
There's more you have to know, Your Majesty. I loved Dorian. Not the way I loved you, but even as I watched him descend into madness and evil, I cared for him. You can scrub his sons from my body, but I will not come clean so easily. I'm sorry. You waited for me, and I didn't wait for you. If you wish to put me aside, Your Majesty, I will make no trouble for you. And if you wish me to purge my womb, I will. My duty to my lord husband and my country is greater than
my own. I've always wanted to be a dad.
What?
Can you love me, Jenny?
I love you so much it hurts.
Logan took her right hand in his left.
You are my wife, my lady, my queen. Let these boys be my sons.
They laughed together and cried together and sat talking together for hours until Logan asked a question and Jenny didn't answer. She was staring at his lips.
What?
Then her mouth was on his and there was roaring in his ears and the room faded and her softness and warmth was better than anything Logan had ever imagined. Somehow she was on his lap, straddling him, and her hands were on his back, in his hair, on his face, always pulling him closer, and he was pulling her into him, crushing her against him, begging, demanding to be closer than clothes would allow. When he surfaced from that kiss, her eyes were warm, dark pools of desire, reflecting only him. Somehow, her hair had become disheveled, but it had never been more perfect.
Damn, the girl knows what she wants. Guess Dorian taught her a thing or three. What if Logan the Virgin doesn't measure up?
It was like catching a lake of cold water on his lap. He must have tensed because she pulled back. She looked in his eyes. She knew.
Now I've spoiled everything.
It wasn't just one moment he had destroyed. He could have just destroyed the easy, unfettered spirit of her sensuality. Every time they made love, she would have to be conscious of Logan thinking.
Did she learn this from Dorian? Was Dorian better?
I'm sorry.
I forgive you.
Janine moved to get off his lap, but he caught her and held her against him. It wasn't an emotion. It was a decision. He forgave her, even of the things that weren't her fault. This was too precious to let the past destroy it.
Jenny. Jenny, will you kiss me?
She pulled away and beat her fists on his chest.
What?
You can't do this to me. I can't feel all this at once.
He grinned and felt that he was himself once again. The idealistic, noble Logan and the wry, carefree Logan and the fierce, primal Logan were being reunited, reintroduced to each other. And Logan would need all of them to be the man and husband and king that he wanted to be.
Then just feel this.
As their kisses became more heated, those thoughts, and all thoughts, dimmed into the background and disappeared altogether beneath the scent of lavender and faint sweat and her breath and the feel of her weight on his lap and her hands on his body and her skin beneath his lips and finally his hands won through all the layers of skirts and he felt slim stockinged calves and his fingers traced that silk up to silkier skin. Logan jumped to his feet and set Janine on her.
The royal apartments can't be far. If you can wait 5 minutes.
Mm-mm.
Janine grabbed him.
Mm.
And they didn't wait. When Kyler opened his eyes, he was lying in a soft bed. High overhead, the ceiling was covered with an elaborate mosaic of a warrior hanging onto a titan's neck. A huge black sword drawn back in his hand for a killing blow. It was Kyler, but the mosaic was centuries old. Kyler turned. At first, he didn't recognize V. For the first time he'd ever seen, she wore her luxurious wavy red hair unbound. A single streak of it was stark white. She was seated beside his bed, holding his hand, her green eyes closed in sleep. There were red tulips on the bedside table. Aline's funeral was simple and small, despite being held in the Hall of Winds. The High King and Queen joined V and Kyler and Durzo and Sister Aria. Dorian sat cross-legged on the ground near the back, oblivious. Thankfully, he was silent. Fear stood near him, mostly watching Dorian to make sure he didn't do anything offensive. Amazingly, Aline's old putter from Sanaria had accompanied Logan's army to help with the wounded, and he preached with a simple eloquence that bespoke his long friendship with her. The walls and dome of the Hall of Winds showed the beautiful spring day outside, ripe and bright with promise. Bee caught herself glancing at Kyler again and again. After being bonded to him, it was strange to have to read his emotions from his face. He wept freely, and there was something clean and healing in those tears. The potter finished the final prayer, and one by one they made their way to the open coffin. Kyler and V went last. Aline was absolutely stunning. Sister Ariel and V had made her gown. It was white silk like the one she died in, but in line with Aline's modesty and taste. Her face was radiant, unscarred. It was the face God had intended for Aline, but without her gentleness to animate it, it looked too austere. Here was the face of a queen, but Aline's beauty had always been warm and comforting, never intimidating. As V tried to sketch in the details that this husk couldn't capture, the vastness of the loss overwhelmed her. She had to brace herself against the coffin. Finally, V drew a little weave Sister Ariel had taught her around the splay of red tulips Aline held against her chest. It would preserve the flowers for all time. Then V touched her friend's cold cheek and kissed her forehead. As she touched Aline's body while still holding her talent, V was struck by something. Aline wasn't pregnant. V straightened, her tears forgotten. Had Aline simply been mistaken? Aline had never been pregnant before, so she wouldn't know exactly how it felt. Bee joined the departing line of mourners. Her eyes fell on the High Queen, pregnant with twins, and then on Dorian sitting by the door. The Mad Mage grinned at her, and that grin reminded Bee that Dorian the Mad had held both of the world's most powerful magical artifacts at the same time. Dorian had been responsible for guiding the magic that had wiped out the Krull and restored this entire city. Dorian had been magically linked to all of them. Dorian had been the most talented healer in living memory. V's mouth dropped open. Then the insanity of voicing her wild suspicions made it snap shut. What was she going to do? Challenge a madman? Tell the king his wife was carrying two different men's sons and throw an insane hope at Kyler as if it would make up for Aline's death? No. She would say nothing. Not until she knew, maybe not for a long time. But if Aline and Kyler's child somehow lived, V swore, that no one would hurt him. As the ceremony ended, V looked surreptitiously at Kyler. He stood tall. Even as tears coursed down his face, he seemed unburdened. More at ease, more confident, more himself than V had ever seen. She came and stood beside him as the mourners walked into the glorious spring sunshine to look out over their clean, white city. 10,000 red tulips were a reminder of the blood that had purchased it. Kyler took V's hand and squeezed.
Night Angel Trilogy, Beyond the Shadows Part 2, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2008, Brent Weeks. Published by arrangement with Hatchet Book Group Incorporated. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2010 by The Cutting Corporation Incorporated. All rights reserved. With performances by Eric Messner, David Coyne, Tony Penny, Andy Clements, Michael Glenn, Mort Shelby, Tim Getman, Colleen Delaney, Ren Casey, Laura Quinn Anderson, Elizabeth Jernigan, Yasmin Toison, Richard Rowan, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Lily Beacon, Joe Brack, Casey Platt, Christopher Graybill, Terrence Azelford, James Lewis, Scott McCormick, Dylan Lynch, and Johann Detweiler. Adapted and directed by Johann Detweiler. Produced by Richard Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Johann Detweiler. Featuring original music composed and performed by Dan Smith and Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed the Night Angel trilogy, be sure to look for R.A. Salvatore's Demon Wars saga, available now in graphic audio at Road Stops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.